This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Unravel the secrets, conspiracies in the Shire as we unveil the true depth of friendship in Middle-earth. We'll see how conspiracy is turned to friendship, how Frodo's quest isn't an isolated story in Middle-earth, and just how deep Sam's loyalty really is. Today, we finish exploring the fifth chapter of J.R.R. Tolkien's Fellowship of the Ring, A Conspiracy Unmasked. Make sure you tap that follow button so you don't miss out on any new episodes. If you love this episode, please leave a 5-star rating. Every rating helps more wanderers to wander Middle-earth with you and I. And if you're really loving the show, I would be truly honored if you tapped that share episode button, sent a link to the show to a friend of yours, and invited them to wander Middle-earth with us. Now, let's wander. Let's check the map. For our new listeners, these map checks are inspired by the beautiful maps that accompany the Lord of the Rings books and are intended to help you keep up with the story. It is the third age of Middle-earth. Frodo has arrived in Crick Hollow, a secluded house in Buckland, east of the Shire. He is taking the ring to Rivendell in order to keep the Shire safe. His friends, Merry, Pippin, Sam, and Fatty, have helped him along the way, providing support and comfort on the dangerous road. Frodo dreads having to tell his friends of his decision to leave them behind and go alone into the wild, despite Gandalf's advice. However, a conspiracy swirls around Frodo that he has yet to discover. In my Houghton Mifflin 2002 edition, this is pages 100 through 106. In our previous episode, we began to explore the nature of Frodo's friendship with the other hobbits. Today, we'll see just how well they know Frodo and his secrets. Frodo has been dreading how to tell his friends that he's leaving soon, but Pippin and Merry have already pieced the plan together. In fact, when Frodo falters about where to begin telling them, Merry steps in and says it out loud for him, quote, "You are miserable because you don't know how to say goodbye." He explains Frodo's plan to leave the Shire and unexpected timetable, since danger is now beset around them. Frodo is, of course, completely surprised. He thinks he's kept this secret to himself. But his friends have been watching for clues, and some of them are quite obvious, like Frodo asking himself out loud if he would ever see certain parts of the Shire again. But Merry has another surprise altogether. He knows about Bilbo's ring. Apparently, he witnessed Bilbo slip on the ring and become invisible just to avoid the Saxville Bagginses. Merry would have been one of the three people who wasn't surprised when Bilbo disappeared at the long-awaited party. But why he didn't tell Frodo about his knowledge of the ring for 17 years is not really explained, beyond his impression of keeping it secret, as Bilbo plainly intended to do. Merry seems to be the chief organizer of what he calls, quote, our conspiracy, the main goal of which was to watch Frodo and make sure he didn't slip off into the wild all on his own. In reality, this group of conspirators is the first rendition of the Fellowship of the Ring, unknown to Frodo, but a fellowship nevertheless that banded together to support and help the Ringbearer. So if you've only seen the movie or you've read the book and you're wondering why the Fellowship isn't formed until over halfway through the story, in reality, the Fellowship actually starts much earlier. And I can't remember exactly if Elrond in the book calls the group the Fellowship of the Ring once they formed and decided to take the ring to Mordor, but I do know that from that point on, Tolkien will write it as the Company, with a capital C. But the Fellowship began long before Frodo decided to leave, with Merry as the leader and another hobbit as chief investigator. More on that in a moment. I want to take a moment and point out a major difference between book Pippin and film Pippin. In the film, Pippin provides a great laugh line, when at Rivendell, after the Fellowship has been formed, He says something like, "You need people of intelligence on this mission, quest, thing." And Mary leans over and says, "Well, that rules you out, Pip." It's funny, and it fits with the comedic relief character that Pippin is in the film. But contrast that line with what Pippin says at this moment in Crick Hollow. And mind you, Pippin has been with Frodo for several days, on the road already, and has already seen many encounters with the Black Riders. He says, quote, "Merry and I are coming with you. Sam is an excellent fellow and would jump down a dragon's throat to save you, if he did not trip over his own feet. But you will need more than one companion in your dangerous adventure." To me, this shows Pippin as a more intelligent hobbit, who has considered the dangers and clearly has a complicated opinion about Samwise. And it also provides a richer depth to Pippin's and Merry's bravery and willingness to accompany Frodo. They are under no pressure from Gandalf, no bidding by the elves to go with Frodo. Indeed, their willingness is as pure and unpressured as can possibly be. And that shows the true depth of their friendship with Frodo. Not to be left out, but Fredegar Bolger, also known as Fatty, volunteers to stay behind at Crick Hollow. His objective is to misdirect people and make them believe that Frodo really has taken up residence at Crick Hollow for as long as possible, even wearing some of Frodo's clothes around the house. Clearly, these hobbits have been thinking about this plan for some time, and while Fatty loved Frodo, he had no desire to leave the Shire. But this role will prove to be extremely dangerous in the coming days, and we must hope that Fatty is up for the challenge. We'll get to that in a future episode. We need to explore the role of the final conspirator in the group, but before we do, I want to point out some Lord of the Rings lore. I find two lore clues in this chapter where Tolkien is reminding us that Frodo's quest is only part of a much grander, more epic saga than simply a walk through the Shire. The first is the going away song the hobbits sing, which, as we're told, is, quote, "made on the model of the dwarf song that started Bilbo on his adventure long ago and went to the same tune." Let's compare these two songs. The Song in Fellowship is much shorter than the one in The Hobbit, but it is still a song to be sung on the eve of departing for a long journey. Where the dwarves in The Hobbit sang about their ancient home and reclaiming it from the dragon, the hobbits here sing about Rivendell, and also tie back to the idea of the road verse that has popped up a couple of times already, in the line, quote, "and whither then we cannot tell." We find in both songs this line, quote, "we must away ere break of day," which speaks to the willingness to start the journey early, to get up and moving, and closer to the goal. Pippin derides the idea of starting a journey before the break of day, saying that it was just poetry. Clearly he wants to sleep in now that he can sleep in a bed rather than on the road. I don't blame him. These songs are a microcosm of the two stories, The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. Where in The Hobbit, the adventure was to reclaim a treasure and return home, in contrast, in Fellowship, the hobbits seek to lose a treasure that was unintentionally picked up from the first. In both instances of these songs being sung, the main hobbit, Bilbo and Frodo, had restless dreams as they slept in the night before leaving on their adventure in the morning. Bilbo's dreams were merely, quote, "uncomfortable," and the pinnacle of his uncomfort in the first chapter of The Hobbit. Frodo's dreams, however, provide a bit more detail. The first portion is a terrifying recap of his experiences on the road with the Black Riders, but the back half of the dream is insightful. Frodo stands near a, quote, "tall white tower that stands by the sea." Now, in Middle-earth, there are many towers by the sea. Perhaps this tower was one of the three towers built by the men of Numenor that keen-eyed hobbits could see far into the west from the Shire, though hardly any hobbit ever actually went there. Another tower near the sea would be the city of Tirion, the elven city in Valinor, where the elves could see the light of the two trees and yet also the sea. Another key tower might be the First Age settlement of Vinyamar. Established on the very western edge of the land, Vinyamar was a city built by Turgon before he took his people to the hidden city of Gondolin. But he left a set of armor where hundreds of years later a man would claim and then find his way to Turgon to warn him. Check out episodes 14, 29, and 30 for a recap on that tale. But regardless of which tower this is in Frodo's dream, if indeed it is a specific tower, the more interesting detail is what he hears. In his dream, Frodo hears the sea. He's never actually heard the sea while awake, and yet something deep inside him can identify that sound, as he's heard it often in his dreams. If you've visited a beach, you know the sound. The rolling of the waves, the splashing of the water, the cry of gulls. But let's go a step further. And remember how Middle-earth was created. Through the music of the Ainur. The gods that created the world under Ilúvatar. And in the sea, but more specifically in water, the music of the creation still lives on. As we see in this line from Tolkien's The Silmarillion, quote, "In water there lives yet the echo of the music of the Arnor, more than in any substance else that is in this earth, and many of the children of Ilúvatar, including Frodo, I would add, hearken still unsated to the voices of the sea, and yet know not for what they listen." Why do I bring up this deep lore in a simple chapter about the hobbits at Crick Hollow? Well, Gandalf told Frodo that more than one power is at work in Middle-earth, and Gildor counseled Frodo that courage would be found in unlikely places. We've explored some connections to Elbereth, the Lady of the Stars, one of the Valar who govern Middle-earth, and her influence on Frodo's quest already, before he's even left the Shire. Well, in the sea and the music of the water, another of the Valar also shows his influence on Frodo's quest. Olmo, the Lord of the Waters, has used his music in the water to send messages and influence the children of Ilúvatar since the first age of Middle-earth. Olmo used music to put into the heart of Galadriel's brother Finrod to found Nargothrond, and into his friend's heart, Turgon, to found Gondolin. From Turgon's line will come Elrond, the half-elven, and Finrod's story is intricately connected with Aragorn's own family line in the tale of Beren and Lúthien. So you see, a simple dream by Frodo, on the eve of his adventure, clues us into the wider and deeper lore of Middle-earth. Frodo is not on this quest alone. Not only does he have his hobbit friends around him, he also has divine beings helping and encouraging him along the way, as they have done for thousands of years in the struggle against Morgoth and Sauron. But we have one more friend to examine, and we'll get to that right after this break.
We're not done yet. If you like this episode, please leave a review and share with your friends. And remember to subscribe if you haven't already. We'll be right back.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Are you ready to dive deeper into Tolkien's world? If you've ever struggled to read The Silmarillion, I've got just the thing for you. I've created a free guide packed with my best tips to help you conquer this epic book. Whether you're a seasoned reader or tackling it for the first time, this guide will make your journey through the first age of Middle-earth more rewarding than ever. Head over to ringspodcast.com to download your free guide today. Your adventure deeper into Middle-earth starts now. Visit ringspodcast.com today for your free guide. Who was the primary informant for this little conspiracy? Merry, Pippin, and Fatty were all gathering clues and making plans, but one hobbit was more pivotal than the others in gathering information. Frodo never sees it coming. He never suspects who it is. The informant is none other than Samwise Gamgee. Apparently Sam has been collecting info for quite some time, even before Gandalf caught him under the window, trimming the verge, and charged him to help Frodo on his quest. While Frodo is still hesitant to bring his friends on the quest, Sam reminds him of the advice he has received from both Gandalf and Gildor. And during the later instance, Sam was supposed to have been asleep. Gandalf's advice was for Frodo to take someone he could trust. However, Frodo understandably feels like he can trust no one in this little conspiracy, as they've been keeping secrets from him for a while. But Merry provides some definitions for what trust is. Quote, "You can trust us to stick with you. You can trust us to keep any secret. You cannot trust us to let you face trouble alone." That level of trust comes with true friendship, as Merry emphasizes to Frodo, quote, "We are your friends, Frodo." Let's pause a moment and think about Sam here. In the chapters that we've explored earlier, we've seen the class differences between Sam and the other hobbits. Sam has been repeatedly marginalized, and even in some cases been the butt of jokes from the other hobbits. But we've already started to see a change come over Sam, a change from the devoted mere servant to chief conspirator, and even on to deep and true friend. Sam, it would seem, is much smarter and craftier than anyone expected, even his own master Frodo. Frodo has been gallivanting and hobnobbing with some of the wisest people in Middle-earth, Gandalf, Gildor, the elves, and yet he couldn't see what was happening right under his nose, a fact that he plans to remedy by never again believing that Sam is asleep. Sam embodies a truism that Elrond will articulate in a few chapters, a truism that is a major theme for The Lord of the Rings. Quote, "This quest may be attempted by the weak with as much hope as the strong, yet such is often the course of deeds that move the wheels of the world. Small hands do them because they must, while the eyes of the great are elsewhere." Indeed, Frodo's eyes have been elsewhere, even as he has carried the ring thus far in the Shire, but he wouldn't have made it this small way crossing the Shire without his deeply loyal and wonderful friend, Samwise Gamgee. Join me in the next episode, where we will get lost with the hobbits in the Old Forest, and little Sam will do his best to help. Thank you for wandering Middle-earth with me today. My friends, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing with your friends. Follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Lore of the Rings Podcast. For feedback on the show, please email me using the link in the show notes. Until next Thursday, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Are you ready to dive deeper into Tolkien's world? If you've ever struggled to read The Silmarillion, I've got just the thing for you. I've created a free guide packed with my best tips to help you conquer this epic book. Whether you're a seasoned reader or tackling it for the first time, this guide will make your journey through the first age of Middle-earth more rewarding than ever. Head over to ringspodcast.com to download your free guide today. Your adventure deeper into Middle-earth starts now. Visit ringspodcast.com today for your free guide.